Okay, our next speaker is Guy Roth, and Guy is the director of Roth Rural and Regional, and he's been working with Stacey Vogel, who is, works with an Amway CMA, but she's also working with the Cotton CRC, and they've been doing a study on WeWar, and it started a number of years ago, and I won't steal any of Guy's thunder, but I'll give you the title of it at least. It's Of Droughts and Flooding Rains, The Resilience of WeWar.
Morning, everybody. I think I've finally made it. I get to speak behind a lectern and the vice chancellor's touched. First time for everything. And in a way, this is after 14 years association with the various cotton CRCs, and now starting in 1998, this is the last hurrah in a way. But on a very different topic to what I used to speak on, which is things like spectral reflectance of irrigated cotton crops and plant water deficits and things like that. Our study is on the droughts and flooding rains and resilience of WeWar, and Stacey Vogel, whose picture's there, has really helped and done most of the work for this project. Fantastic. And Stacey's a WeWar resident. So why WeWar? Who's been to WeWar? Who knows where it is? Fantastic. My first association was cotton chipping in WeWar back in the 80s. When I was an undergraduate student at UNE, I was playing trains with a cotton farmer's daughter at the time. But nevertheless, it was a good way to make a quid. So Narrabri is another map. You can see Narrabri, WeWar. That is why we were studying. The yellow is cotton. This year's cotton crop. WeWar is a town dominated by agriculture, which I'll show you in a minute, and the research station, which is where we were based, where I was based at the time, is somewhere in here, just below Oscott. But it's no secret that droughts impact farmers. That was known. So cast your minds back to 2004. That's when we decided to do this work. There was a lot of media attention around how the drought was impacting farmers. And fair enough too. But we were asking the question about, well, how is it impacting small business? And so we were 15 minutes away from a community where we could study the small businesses, which is what I'm going to run you through. And 2004 was the so-called driest year on record at the time from the federal government's drought inquiry, and as you know, it only got worse. So here are the cotton production figures in the Namoi Valley over this decade or so, and in 2004, which is when we first did this piece of work, this is prior to the formation of the Cotton Catchment Community CRC. We were the Cotton CRC, we were agronomists back then, and we were thinking about how are we going to do community research. We had no idea. We were thinking about our proposal to put to DISA. So the concept, well, we better go and do something to see if we can actually do it. So we spent $500, literally, and went and studied the businesses of WeWar to do part of this work in 2004, and then we repeated in 2007, and the bit I'm reporting to you today is we literally repeated the survey. We dropped the surveys round just before it rained in January and the floods. But you can see the drop in cotton production, the impact of a bit of recovery, really bottomed out here, and the recovery that we're experiencing. The black bars is really the WeWar cotton. The light grey is Walgett cotton, which is all ginned at WeWar. And the rest is sort of Narrabri, Boggabri cotton in the Namoi Valley. So that's the drought. The Namoi, just across the road, that's the first time it actually dried up completely opposite the research station. And then in February this year, it looked something like that. Quite amazing, isn't it? That was a week, 3 days after we dropped these surveys around to talk about drought. So that's why Paula changed the title of my topic, because we were just going to talk about drought. So the studies in 2004 showed this. In 2007, the 40-odd businesses we surveyed in WeWar, their company turnover gross dropped by 55%, from $120 million down to $55. Massive reduction in business turnover in these businesses in WeWar. And then the types of positions lost were mostly initially casuals. The casuals all went first, and then the professionals and the clerical sort of sales and administrators, they were the position. 60% of permanent staff lost, 40% of casuals lost, and 2/3 of those people left the district. And at the time, the feeling was that they wouldn't come back, and that's been correct. So very significant changes in 2007. So in response, the Wee-Waa Chamber of Commerce, who partnered with us, developed a strategic plan to think about the economy and their businesses as a Chamber of Commerce. So now I want to turn to 2012, which is this year, nearly gone, I can't believe it. 2012, we recently repeated this exercise, and that's what I'm going to report to you now. So in 2012 is the business income, so 30 or 40 businesses we've been surveying and monitoring. The vast majority of their income comes from agriculture, cotton, grain and cattle. You know, that's 82%. So it is a highly agricultural-dependent economy, probably no different to where most of you come from. Yours might be bigger in grain or cattle, but I would assume they're highly agricultural-dependent economies. Interesting enough, there is quite a bit of tourism, grey power and whatever, passing through Wee-Waa on their way to the Burren Junction bars and things like that. And for the first time, some influence of the coal seam, that wasn't evident 5 years ago. And the other are basically solicitors and lawyers and accountants and that sort of thing. If we'd had a better wheat crop the last couple, especially last year, this would be a bigger slice, I believe. So the permanent staff, a lot of where do people live who work in Wee-Waa? Most live in Wee-Waa and the surrounds, but there is 16% that live here in Narrabri. Locals know that, but we never really knew what the figure was. A lot of people do commute from Narrabri to Wee-Waa, and a few drive-in, drive-outers. We surveyed them some questions about their what are the pressing issues, and recruiting of staff, strongly agree, this is the biggest issue for businesses in Wee-Waa at the moment, recruiting staff, and I'm going to come back to finding the staff. I told you two-thirds of the people left, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. We also asked them a whole heap of other sort of topical questions about, you know, climate change and carbon taxes and whatever. Another one was the Murray-Darling Basin Plan. How would that influence their business? Uncertainty associated, they strongly agree. And you'd expect businesses in Wee-Waa would have believed that that would strongly influence their business. There's a couple that obviously don't because they're not associated with the irrigation industry. You'd expect that. What really surprised me is six of them didn't know. This is a major policy driver, probably one of the biggest things, and six of them didn't know. That's interesting to me. Certainly very concerned about climate variability. So what's happened since 2008? This is rock bottom. Business turnover was down 47%. Since then, it's now up 77%. That is an incredible. You probably know it if you're in business or in farming, but that's the average figure. And they range from sort of 10 or 20% to almost up to 200% for some of the highly irrigation-dependent businesses. That's a massive turnaround. So what has that done for employment? What do you reckon? Hands up, increased, much the same. Increased? I can't see you, there's a big bright light. Increased, same, decreased. It's actually about the same. The large businesses, four big businesses in Wee-Waa, agribusinesses, as you probably know, and a lot of sort of main street businesses employ, but those numbers are pretty much flat line. And that is interesting in a way. There hasn't been this employment recovery that you're seeing in the business turnover. So the impact of the drought is lingering. Exactly why, it's hard to know. Some of these businesses are cut to the bone, obviously. And others have become more efficient. They're doing more with less, like we all do. So let's have a look at the main street. These are the 31 businesses in Rose Street, the main street of Wee-Waa. There's 31 of them. Since 2007, three have closed. There's one new one. And 30 or 11 of them, the red ones, under new management, have changed hands. That's an astounding statistic. 38% of them have changed hands since 2008. I know that hasn't happened in Narrabri. I don't know about your towns. But that is quite a significant turnover in ownership of the local businesses. So Wee-Waa, like a lot of towns, also has a sort of a semi-industrial type estate. It's not an estate, but a street. It's called Bulcarrol Road. So these are bigger sort of agri-type businesses. There's 22 there. totally different story. One of them's closed, could potentially be two, because of the case, tractor dealerships just closed as well. There's one new one, and one has changed ownership. So quite different in the same town, different types of businesses. School students. So here we are, 2003-2012. There's four schools. Now you can see the total numbers of students. As you'd expect, there has been this sort of decline. As I said, two-thirds of the workers left. A lot of families left. Families. 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 That's what makes up rural communities. Not fly-in, fly-outers. Families, families and families. Let's think about that in a minute. I think about how my contribution to Narrabri has changed coming here as a young buck, and what I used to do there as a, you know, drinking in the pub, compared to now being a family and a parent with three, and there's different sorts of services and needs that I have. But that's the decline, and now seeing some sort of recovery. The other thing that's come back to us in the information is there's an increase in the lower socioeconomic demographic families in Weewar. They're leaving Narrabri and going to Weewar because they can't afford to live in Narrabri anymore. That's actually been a winner for school funding, because all of a sudden you're eligible for different types of school funding. But it is definitely changing the demographic of Weewar and actually Narrabri, and that's related to the mining and coal seam gas influences. So sort of going, this is sort of my getting towards the end of my presentation, and there's a whole lot of, which you would know better than me, a whole lot of social interdependence of things. And I didn't know how to draw this, and to be honest with you, I didn't think about it that long. I started to try to draw arrows and all that sort of thing. But it's not. So you think about it. Farms employ people, as you know. But there's less employment going on the farms. They're becoming more mechanised. The families aren't there on the farms anymore. They're employing single blokes. The number of backpackers working on farms is astounding. So that obviously has, there's less sort of families. So that influences the population. That influences the school numbers and vice versa. It means there's less families. There's less youth in the town to take on a job or do a trade. There's less youth providing the school bus driving numbers. There's less services. All these things are sort of interacting. The families affect businesses. The doctor told us, well, we were prescribing more, I can't remember the names of the drugs, for mental health. We're now, during the drought, that went up. We're now prescribing less of that. All these things are interconnected, is what I'm saying. There's the sort of economic side of things, if you like, but there's all these sort of social interdependencies of, and I've just given you a few examples, and you could articulate that far better than me in your local community. So just to sort of wrap up with something, given something a little bit lighter. I've shown this cartoon once before. It's from 2002. So normally the government drifts along about 8,000 metres. Everyone loves having a go at the government, so I might as well too. This is 2002 though, so drifts along at about 8,000 metres. They form pools of expertise and funding to cope with the drought cycle. This cartoon was about the drought. And then it rains experts and politicians and money to a degree. Suddenly it rains all that. You might remember this. This is one of our motivations for doing this drought study. There was a lot of talk about farmers, but nothing about businesses. And then, as we're experiencing now, as soon as the good years return, they evaporate back to 8,000 metres. And that's where sort of drought thinking has gone at the moment, hasn't it? But I think our challenge, and it's fantastic you're all here, is thinking about rural communities. The community side of what the CIC is one thing, and I hope that group that Mal and Sue are going to be involved, they'll be able to champion that into the future. Fantastic that sort of work will be able to go on this rural community study. I am actually quite concerned probably about the natural resource management type research. That has evaporated. There's all this debate about the Murray-Darling Basin Plan and coal seam gas and biodiversity and those sort of things. Who is going to champion that sort of work? There's such knowledge gaps. I supervise a PhD student, he went, Rhiannon, and I used to say, you've only got to go west of the Newell Highway and turn over a few rocks and count a few trees and you'll probably find some new species. You didn't have to do too much to break new ground. So I think, and we've spoken a bit about it, some sort of northern catchment, Darling Basin, whatever you want to call it, that area needs quite some considerable thought. And obviously, the cotton research, well, it's highly organised and well efficient. But that's enough from me, Paula. Thank you very much.
We've got time to take a couple of questions, and you can imagine what Guy was like as a young buck around town here. Quick question, David.
Rocky, I'm just wondering, your chart you put up about businesses, the employment in those businesses not significantly increasing since 2008. I'm just wondering if that might be a result of ongoing policy uncertainty, particularly surrounding irrigation water supplies.
Yeah, well, I think the irrigation water supply is one. The carbon tax is another. They were very concerned about that. And there are a number of other sort of, as you're saying, policy drivers creating uncertainty that I think are in the back of people's minds. And plus workforce relations and employment. I was talking to an Arabi businessman last night and he's saying, well, you know, if you put on staff, it's hard to get rid of them. Well, not that we want to get rid of them, but if we have to, for different. So there's some of those things that come into play as well.
Thank you, Guy. Rick Huffman, into a distribution probably 20 others or 2 years ago. I was the manager and part owner of the biggest private employer in Gwinnett Shire, which was a department store, 118 years old, fourth generation, IGA, Light of 10, Better Electrical, CRC.
Is that in Bingary? You say Bingary?
I was interested to hear your figures on the impact of the fluctuations in agriculture on Weewall. And it would seem to me that either with that rate change and with so little change in employment and business structure in Weewall, that the agricultural systems that we have are really irrelevant to the sustainability of rural towns, especially the smaller rural towns. And I wonder if you might comment on that and having said that, I don't like to be a negative person, so one of my focuses at the moment is looking to change the way in which our town responds to future prospects by looking at a system of projects that can reinvent and diversify our economic base, and the Living Classroom project in Bingham is one I'm involved in. I'm just wondering whether or not your broader experience has led you to believe that country towns and agriculture have grown further apart and that their interests are no longer running concurrent.
Well, agriculture is obviously a key driver and a key employer in most country towns. And I think we will see my gut feeling is those employment figures will go up after this cotton harvest, which has started. And then certainly if there's a good grain harvest this winter, I think you'll see those numbers go up. We're just sort of at that cusp in terms of employment numbers in those businesses. And certainly some of the bigger businesses are taking them on, but some of them are also struggling to find the people they want, which is the skilled people, the mechanics and electrical engineers and that sort of thing. I come from a very different town, Mudgee, which was an agricultural town, is now a very diverse tourism-type based economy. And I guess as economy, it's a fairly fundamental principle, isn't it? As an economy is developed, they become less dependent on agriculture. And agriculture is becoming more efficient as well. But it'll never be irrelevant in, I know you're not saying that, but it'll never be irrelevant in terms of it'll still remain the major employer and employment driver of towns like this.
Right. Okay, we might look to wrap that up. Thank you very much, Guy. This is great.